Good morning. Welcome to this Sunday, December 10th, 2017. We have a beautiful covering of white outside, and we're sitting by a warm fire inside. We're gathered at our home today to do the teaching. Larry came home this past Tuesday as planned. He's doing very well and really increases in his strength and stamina each day. He will continue to receive physical, speech, and occupational therapies on an outpatient basis. He uses a walker very well, and at times he uses a wheelchair just for convenience, like if he's sitting in front of the mirror and is going to shave or brush his teeth, then the wheelchair is certainly better than the walker. So Larry wants to give you his greeting personally and to thank you for prayers. So Larry.
Well, bless your hearts. Thank you, each and every one of you, so much for your prayers. They have really been very effectual. And I'm not back to 100% yet, and I would appreciate if you continue to keep me in your prayers until there's full restoration, which I am absolutely confident that will take place. I am doing a lot better. But there's still some more to go yet. So thank you very much for your love and your prayers, your thoughts, your notes, your emails, the cards and things that I've received. I am so blessed to know that we have so many wonderful beloved ones that support me, and your intercessions have really been very effectual. So thank you very much. And on behalf of our household, thank you so much for keeping us in your prayers. It's been a wonderful blessing to all of us. And I'm very thankful that Connie's going to be teaching the next couple of weeks. So she has some things planned to share with you. So whenever you're ready, sweetie, go right ahead.
Thank you. Well, on that health note, let's turn to 3 John, a very familiar verse, but it's certainly one that we've thought a lot about. We were in the hospital just a few days shy of a full month. So we would sit together. I would sit by Larry's bedside, and we would discuss the scriptures and how we were going to think and how we were going to appropriate, and always bringing ourselves back to the wonderful things that God has assured us of. So in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." We're going to look at 3 words here. We're going to look a few definitions, biblical definitions of prosper, health, and soul. So prosper is to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey, to be led by a direct and easy way, to grant a successful issue, to succeed in reaching. And figuratively, it indicates success in business affairs. Now, the word health, to be in good health, of course, to be well, to be sound. In fact, metaphorically used of Christians whose opinions are free from any mixture of error. That is health. That is soundness. To be uncorrupt, to be true in our doctrine. And then the soul, it's talking about that part of man where we hide the word in our hearts. It's talking about that part of man that is so deep within us that we use the aids that are offered by God. And when we do that, our souls prosper. And they can attain the highest end. Let's think of all the aids or resources God has extended to us in His Word, the things He's told us about. Number one, His word of truth, his gift to us of Holy Spirit, the nine manifestations, intervention by angels. How about the name of Jesus Christ? Five gift ministries that are for the perfecting of the saints. And how about our wonderful brethren? We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. So there's a few. The list could go on and on and on. And as that part of our soul, as that deep part of our soul is established, organized, composed, and founded upon the right use of all of the helps from God, our soul then can achieve, accomplish, and realize its highest end. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. And we want our opinions to be free from any mixture of error. And when that happens, we will be led in a direct and easy way, and we'll succeed in reaching a prosperous and expeditious journey. In Proverbs 3, let's start in verse 5. This beautiful scripture that invites us to the greatest shelter, the warmest comfort, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear or love the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And there's a Hebrew Chaldee lexicon that indicates that the health of the navel, health to thy navel, means it shall be a refreshment to your nervous system, to your entire nerves. And in your nervous system is the seat of your strength. Because we don't react according as the world would. We don't overreact. But we are strong in our nervous system. And it serves us well. Honor the Lord with thy substance, it goes on, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And the chastening of the Lord certainly includes his warnings throughout his word, his reproof that is throughout his word, his instruction, the correction, the doctrine. And we never want to loathe that. We never want to be weary of that correction, that warning, that chastening of the Lord, in whom we trust. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And when you think of it, that word findeth indicates that it was acquired because it was sought out. We seek to find wisdom. And what does it say in Matthew or in the Gospels? If we seek, we're going to what?
Find.
Find. We're going to find. If we ask of the Lord, Lord, I desire wisdom. And we get our soul set on a nourished path. We are going to find that which we're seeking. And getteth is in the sense of producing or promoting it. The man that getteth understanding. In other words, a wise man is going to promote understanding. He will understand it in his own life. He will see it at work. The scriptures go on, for the merchandise or the gain of it, wisdom, we're talking about wisdom, for the gain of wisdom, what we gain from God's wisdom is better than the gain of silver and the gain thereof of fine gold. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Better, here are some of the words that better means. It is used in the broadest, widest sense. It means beautiful, bountiful, cheerful, favored, fine, gracious, joyful, loving, merry, precious, sweet. Wisdom is better than the gain of money. Right there in those scriptures, we see the prosperous soul, the cure for the body, and the cause for abundance in every category of life as we journey along our prosperous way. One Saturday morning after Thanksgiving, when Larry and I were at the hospital, we went down to enjoy coffee at a little coffee shop on the first level of the hospital. And while I was waiting to get our coffee, I met a young woman, and she was visibly distraught. She was broken. She was very teary. And I spoke kindly to her, and after she shared about her husband's situations, she was comforted by the word that I spoke to her. And as a figure of speech, she even mentioned she felt I was an angel that was sent to encourage her that day because she was so heartbroken about that her husband was in the hospital on Thanksgiving Day. We exchanged names and hugs, and she went her way. But a few days later, we met up again as we were headed back to the coffee shop, and she was actually headed to the elevator, but she followed us back to the coffee shop and sat with us. She was uplifted once again by the word we shared, until we joined hands at the table to pray for her husband. And in the prayer, I made mention, as we all do so many times, truths of the word, such as God is love. We mentioned God's light. We mentioned his absolute will for our health. We mentioned the right that we have to rebuke the enemy in the situation for sending bad things our way. And it was like, suddenly, it was no longer about her husband at all. She just became a different person in front of our face. It was all about her beliefs. And in that, we saw the things that she was tethered to. In an instant, she took on a different persona. She began by telling us how she was enrolled in a well-known biblical college, and that although the devil sends bad things, God allows it so that he will receive praise for the deliverance or the healing once he decides it's time. Well, it was so sad. She likened her husband's sickness, that actually he had endured most of his life, to the man born blind, to Job. She did not know when God would heal her husband, but she did feel at the right time in God's timetable, he would heal her husband so that he would get glory for that healing. Well, I think of the scripture that says, even if they saw someone raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe. So, you know, we don't depend on miracles to turn the tide to bring the unbelievers to God. The miracle is that the believers rejoice in knowing that God is faithful. Mm-hmm. Well, it was very heartbreaking. It became clear that it was no wonder why she was distraught, teary, and burdened. Her opinion was riddled with error about the nature of God. Her opinion was corrupt, and in that corruptness severed her from the aids and the helps that God has so clearly extended to us in His Word. And by the time she was done teaching us, trying to restructure our thinking, she was so adamant about God allowing the devil to harm people in order that he would receive glory in the deliverance. Well, if you sat and you personally thought about how that looks in a person's life, you would be glad to be tethered to the truth. It reached a point where we were no longer even talking about her husband. We had to bring her back. Well, all we wanted to do was pray for your husband. We aren't here to talk theology. But according to her understanding, she was willing to be a martyr that God would receive glory. Her pursuit of the scripture did not bring her to what Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Rather, the corruptness in her soul severed her confidence in the Lord. Her soul could have led her to, "I'm under attack. I rebuke the enemy. But I am called by the name, O Lord God and my Redeemer, the one who redeems my life from destruction." And as we prosper in the truth with all of its love and light, free from any mixture of error, we secure, or tether, as I enjoy picturing it, we tether ourselves to that central truth of the ages, which is God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's why it's so vital to hide these truths in our hearts so that we do not sin against God. And honestly, Psalm 119 is a beautiful chapter, longest chapter in Psalm, or the longest Psalm. And enjoy and look at those scriptures in light of the truths in the New Testament, which unveil the understanding in the old. Because it's not a bunch of do this, don't do that. Think of it in terms, what is the first and greatest commandment? It's to love the Lord thy God. So not to love the Lord thy God obviously must be the greatest sin. So read those words about commandments, about the statutes, the precepts. They're about loving and honoring, trusting our Lord God. And I tell you, when I was in the hospital, I kind of thought up a new little saying that kept me going day to day. It had a little humor to it. And it was, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is almighty. He is sovereign. He has no beginning and no end, and he just happens to be my daddy. And I tell you, that would warm my heart upon every thought that here I am. I've got the best daddy that anyone could ever desire. And of course, it's true for all of us who are his children. We have a great heavenly father, a very intimate relationship. Let's turn to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. So our joy-filled hearts can be on fire with His love, and our countenances will be lit up with His light. His light, as it shines through us, cannot be hidden. It will be on display for all to see. It will emanate. You couldn't hide it. We will be on the road and will succeed in reaching our destination, no matter the category of life. As we seek the prosperity of our souls, prosperity in all and health will abound. They will follow. So in Proverbs 8, I've just picked out a few verses here and there as they relate to the teaching. Verse 10, receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So we're supposed to receive instruction and knowledge, not silver and not gold. Now, do you think God does not want us to have silver and gold? He wants us to have silver and gold, of course. But things have a proper order for our pursuit. For wisdom, verse 11, is better than rubies. So wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, good sense, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Well, if you go and you look at some of the witty inventions and the money that people make off of them, but it started with the witty invention. It didn't start with the person seeking money. They got this idea and they went for it. The money was a follow-up. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Verse 33, hear instruction. Be wise and refuse it not. In Proverbs 23, verse 4, you'll turn over a little bit. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. So we don't work, we don't set out to be rich. That's not the reason we get a job. There's a beautiful verse that says, work heartily as unto the Lord. That's why we do anything. We work heartily as unto the Lord, because working to be rich is man's wisdom. If you work, you can be rich. Well, we labor not to be rich, but to glorify God. Psalm 119, 14. Look at Psalm 119. He says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So that's what he was pursuing. He was pursuing the testimonies. You know, I'm not saying that we don't plan or that we neglect secular training, secular education. And I'm not saying that we consistently adhere to unhealthy habits in our lifestyle either. And if you think about it, consistent careless choices along any category of life is simply foolish behavior. Let's think about how Jesus responded to the devil in the temptation to jump off the pinnacle. Look at Matthew 4. This is great. Matthew 4. Starting in verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, Who is going to go on top of a pinnacle and jump off expecting God to catch them, the angels, to swoop them up? That sounds more like a Superman movie. Now, we know that Jesus walked through a street invisible, unseen of people. So is it possible to walk down a street and not be seen by people who wish you ill? Of course. But he didn't walk through the enemy when it wasn't necessary. You see the difference? Again, the next verse, again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So, if God put Satan there, then how dare Jesus to tell him to leave? That's a good point. We don't exert ourselves in the things of God thinking that if we don't, we won't prosper or have health. It's a motivational issue. And that would be an erroneous motivation that, oh, I've got to work hard. I've got to get my soul set or else I'm just going to be nothing. No, the results of that could be likened to fool's gold. With the uncorrupted stance on God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, we can have our heart in alignment with God's heart and we won't be disappointed that we've trusted in him. He will not let us down. He is faithful. There are a couple of sureties in life that we can count on, probably many more. But number one, we have a faithful, loving Father whose love is eternal and whose promises are renewed unto us every second of every single day. There is not a second when God's promises are not fresh for us. Point two, we have a malicious, insatiable enemy whose days of evil are limited. And compared to eternity, they're actually very brief. Perhaps the enemy's roadblocks in life have caused us despair. Maybe at times we can be tempted with a hopelessness, or maybe even a depression. Maybe someone has hurt us and we're battling bitterness. We could experience anxiousness and fear about having needs supplied in times of adversity. Perhaps we fall prey to disappointment in a certain sector or section of life. Or maybe we are busy with a life situation and we just get so busy that we find ourselves living on last week's meal, spiritually speaking. Last week it was so vibrant. But this week, it's just not real crystal clear. I'm waning. I'm feeling a little faint. So, living off, having my soul nourished from food I gave it last week is not a real good meal plan. We do need to savor the word daily, to ponder, to meditate upon the scriptures, to revolve them in our minds and in our hearts. We'll turn to Psalm 19. God's will above all is for our prosperity and health. Will we be attacked? You got it. We will. But God has provided us every reason we can think of to relax and trust in Him. Our job is to get that trust logically, incrementally, deliberately into our souls. It will heal the nervous structure in our body so that our nerves are like steel, so that we do not over-respond to facts because we are anchored in the truth of His love and light. And in Psalm 19, let's begin at verse 8. It says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The respect of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the word, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward as we journey in this life." And here's where I'd like to pick up again next week to further meditate upon how important His word is to our souls and how it relates to 3 John 2. We'll search out how He has designed our souls, His word, how He has designed His word to nourish our souls, to where we are the real iron men of our times out of the motivation of His love for us. God bless you and have a great week. We love you.